Amen. Genesis chapter 26, where we need to know how do we respond in situations of crisis, pandemic, whatever it might be. There's ways to handle the storms of life so that you come out ahead. Jesus went into a boat one day and told the disciples, we're going to get in and go to the other side. Now, the Bible tells us that at that point, he fell asleep in the boat, say in the boat, on a pillow. So anybody who quotes the one verse and takes it as all the time where Jesus said, I don't have a place to lay my head or have a pillow, even obviously so, he must have had one because in the boat, he was sleeping on a pillow. Why does the Bible tell us that? I have no idea, but it's there. And so on the way, they're going across. There was an unexpected storm. In the original text, it was a storm that came quickly and unusual. It was not a typical storm. And this is dealing with men and women the disciples and Peter being a professional fisherman. Could identify storms in advance. That was his livelihood. And so all of a sudden, a storm came up, and they began to deal with it at the best that they could. Say the best that they could. Come on, I got to work you today because you got to represent everybody who couldn't make it today. Say the best that they could. So they begin to toil, they begin to work, they begin to exhaust themselves, they begin to handle this in the way they knew. So basically, you can say it this way, they begin to handle it the way they would have handled it before Jesus was in the boat. Stay with me. Which means that they were rowing to get out of Dodge. They were trying to run for cover. They were doing it, and it came to the place of fatigue and exhaustion. And at that point, when you get into panic mode, nobody thinks logically. Never make decisions in a panic mode. Never make, my dad used to have phrases. One of his phrases that stuck with me was, never offer on the altar of immediacy that which is permanent, which basically means never make a quick temporary decision that you have to live with for your whole life. That's great for every single person that says, I want to marry them, I love them. You've only met them for 2 weeks. You don't know them yet, but I love them. You say that in 20 years, it's a whole different. But 2 weeks is not enough time. That's temporary. Don't make long-term decisions off an emotional moment in the situation. Never spend your money, never spend relationship, never invest in stuff all because of a moment of an emotion. People can work your emotions. People can manipulate your emotions. Your emotions can go up and down. And that's why we don't learn. That's why we teach not to make long life decisions based on those emotions. And so here the disciples are in the boat, and they are beginning to freak out. Greg Bruce translation, challenge everything I say with the word of God. And they begin to freak out. And as they begin to freak out and panic, they begin to cry out. Now, this wasn't a cry out of prayer. This is, and maybe some of you have prayed this way. This was not a prayer of faith. This wasn't a prayer of strength. This wasn't a prayer of authority. This was a prayer of panic. Have you ever prayed a prayer of panic? One of those is, oh God, why me kind of deal. And when you begin to move and try to pray when you're still in panic, you tend to keep your focus on you and not on God. And they said, don't you even care that we perish? Don't you even care that we perish? Interesting. Don't you care that we're about to die? You at least woke Jesus up and said, don't you care you're about to die? But it wasn't, and Jesus is sleeping. So why would he have an opinion of a storm that he's sleeping through? But they assumed that he didn't care. Panic will always make you feel God's doing it and God doesn't care about you. Don't you even care? And the Bible tells us that they woke up Jesus, and what did he do? He stood up and he rebuked the winds. And then he looked at the water and spoke peace to the water. He rebuked the winds and spoke peace to the water. He rebuked the winds. Matthew 18, 18, Jesus said, the keys of the kingdom I give you. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. He rebuked, he canceled the assignment of the wind. He canceled the assignment. Remember when Jesus came up to the fig tree and assuming it would have figs because the leaves were there, even though it wasn't the season of the figs. And he went there and we got there. He was hungry and there was no figs. And he said to the fig tree, no man eats from you ever again. And Peter later, when he came back, saw that the fig tree was withered at its very roots and died and said, Lord, look at the fig tree you cursed. Jesus didn't curse it. He canceled it. See, most people think of cursing like you're calling it something derogatory. No, your authority is to cancel. We interpret the Bible with the Bible. To cancel the enemy's plans. What did Jesus do? He canceled the wind's assignment. You need to stop. And he spoke peace to what was being affected by the assignment of the wind. Many times when you pray for somebody who's sick, you pray for a situation, you pray. Many people just say, oh God, please help us. They don't understand. And you would think, well, we need Jesus to do it. But Jesus, after he dealt with the situation, dealt with the person. He looked at the disciples saying, why are you waking me up? He was blaming them, why aren't you handling this? Many times we're waiting for God to do something and God's given you the authority. Why does God allow it to happen? God doesn't allow it. We allow it. God works and follows his word. Psalms 119, he watches over his word to perform it. He has elevated his word above his name. And when he created Adam, he said, let's give humanity authority on this earth. The authority falls within the reign of us. And many times we're like, oh, God, I'm sitting here helpless. Why are you allowing this? God is saying, wake up, child of God. Wake up, son of God. Wake up, daughter of God. Have the authority that I've given you. Stand on the word and speak the word. This is not fake it till you make it. This is not you trying to override the will of other people, but in the kingdom of your world, in what you have authority on. Didn't Jesus tell the disciples in their prayer to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what am I telling you, child of God, is that you can stand. You might not be able to do it in your nation or in your state or your city or your street yet, but start somewhere at your level of faith. Start in your home and say, wait a minute, I cancel, by the authority of the name of Jesus, I cancel every virus and its assignment set against me. Amen. Curse that stuff, which means cancel it. I curse it at its root. What do you do then? Then you release what the assignment of the enemy was trying to stir. You do the opposite. I cancel the assignment of fear in my home. And I release the peace of God. Get the scripture that exceeds my understanding. I release into my home. Begin to speak words of peace, not words of fear. Begin to speak what God is saying. And as you do that, release the word of God. There's power in the word. 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 Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away before my word fails. There's power. Say, there's power in the word. The reason most people squander and get nervous about this is they don't understand the importance and the power of the word. And the reason they don't understand the power of the word is they feel in their mind and their heart that their own words have no power. Because people today can say anything they want and it doesn't mean anything. They'll get up and say, folks, 6 days ago, we only had a few people that are sick. And today, just 6 days later, we have so many more. Well, you just started testing 4 or 5 days ago. Forgot to tell people that. We're so used to people saying stuff that's not true that you have to research and analyze and look behind the curtain to really get to the truth, that when we start looking at God's word, there's a surface of saying, I wonder, really, is it working? And the Bible says that God's word works. It is established in heaven forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away before my word fails. Isaiah 55:11 says, God's word will go forth. It will not return void. But it'll accomplish that to which it's sent. Say, God's word. Come on, I got to work you today because we got to get this. There's a lot of people that need to hear this through you. Not just to you, but through you. I'm just not speaking to you today. We're going to speak through you because we want you to receive from heaven what God wants you to receive so you can share it to somebody out there. Say, God's word works. Now, if you've been a member with us at Hope Church, you've heard some of this before. This is not new revelation. I'm not trying to bring new revelation. When you're in the midst of a battle, it's not time to figure out a new way of doing stuff. It's the time to say, let's get to the foundation fundamentals, the things that we know, and let's begin to operate and stand on what we know. This is not the time to figure out a better way to shoot a gun or a better way to get an alarm system or a better way. No, this is the time to do what you know to do at the level of your faith. Say, God's word works. Isaiah 55:11, as God's word goes forth, it will not return void, but it will accomplish that to which it's sent. But if you back up to verse 10, it says, just as rain and snow come from heaven and waters the earth, just like we had been having rain, comes from heaven and waters, comes from where? Think about the example that's being used. It comes from where? And goes to where? The earth, and waters the earth, does not return, but waters the earth and makes it. I love the King James says, and makes it produce. What is it making produce? It's making the seed that's been planted. Stay with me. It's making the seed that is planted. It's making the seed that's already planted. This is not an offering time. We've already done with the offering, so just chill out and relax and listen to me. Most people, you talk about seed, they start thinking about money. No. It makes the seed that's already planted produce a harvest. And then verse 11 says, so shall my word be. Notice that little phrase there that connects the two. So shall my word be. My word will be what? As the water and snow waters the earth and makes it produce fruit, makes it produce from the seed that's been planted. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void, but shall accomplish that to which it's sent. What is happening? Now think about this. This is not the seed. This is not the seed of your giving. What seed is it? This is the seed we can identify that comes out of the word of God, where in 1 John it says that whosoever is born of God cannot live in sin because the seed of God remains in him. Stay with me. What remains in a person who's truly born again that can't live in sin? The seed of God, the nature of God is on the inside. The nature of God is on the inside. The seed. What is the seed? The DNA of something that doesn't look like much at the beginning, but produces a lot. The mustard seed. It doesn't look like much, but it produces a lot to the point that everything around it can lodge within its trees, within its branches. We look at a seed and don't see much, but when it produces fruit, we know it's doing something. The nature of God, the nature, the seed of God. And when we begin to catch this, when you begin to allow the word of God to come into your life, all of a sudden it begins to make the nature of God produce in your life. What is the seed of God? It's just not forgiveness. It includes forgiveness. It includes righteousness. It includes health and healing. You are the healed of the Lord because of the seed of God on the inside of you. But I'm feeling bad. That's what the outward says. But you start with the root and it begins to produce the fruit. Jesus did not wait around after he canceled the assignment of the fig tree to see if it worked. He walked on because he knew by faith the moment he spoke it, it would produce. And it didn't start at the fruit. It started at the root. It doesn't happen immediately. It starts in a place that you can't see it. It starts in a realm that you can't see it or feel it emotionally. That's why if you're going to operate by faith, you can't be moved, the Bible says, by what you feel, hear, and see, because that's not the starting place, that's the ending place. So when God's word comes forth, it begins to water your mind, begins to transform it, Romans 12:2. It begins to bring a change into your life. What is it changing? It's bringing out the nature of God on the inside of you, regardless of your age, regardless of your income, regardless of your education, regardless of your network, regardless of what you drive, regardless of who you know, that if you're born again. That's why 1 John tells us that whosoever, for chapter 4, whosoever, verse 14, whosoever is born of God overcomes this world. Because when you are born of God, you have the nature, the seed of God. The son of a dog is a dog. The son of a cat is a cat. The son of a bird is a bird. The son of God carries the nature of God. And when the word of God, catch this. Peter says, let two, three witnesses establish everything. As the word of God comes into your life, as you meditate and speak the word of God, let that word bring out the nature of God. You don't have to be in fear. You just need to be have a revelation of who you are in Christ. You're the healed of the Lord. Say, I'm the healed of the Lord. Come on, shout, I'm the healed of the Lord. Say, sickness and disease. Come on, shout it. You're not scared of it. Say, sickness and disease cannot stand nor stay in my body or in my presence because I am the healed of the Lord. Why do you know that? Because the word of God says it. Exodus 15, 26. He's the God who heals you. Psalms 103:3. Psalms 107. 1 Peter 2, 24. Isaiah. What's it all saying? By his stripes you were healed. You were. Not going to be. You were. How can I be? How can I be, were while I'm still not feeling it today? Because you don't understand, the identity started within the seed of the nature of God within you. And when you became born again at the cross, because of the cross within you, you're the healed of the Lord because you are the child of God. You might not see it yet, but it might not be revealed. But when you step into the anointing, when you stand in the anointing, then that which is happening on the inside will come out. You begin to see it. James says it this way. Have you ever noticed this? James says it this way, that a person who hears the word and does not do it, is as a person who sees their reflection in the mirror and goes away and forgets, King James says, what manner of man they are. What is James saying? When you hear the word and obey it, it's as if you look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of God, and what a natural mirror shows you in your outward reflection. The mirror of God's word shows you who you are on an inward reflection. And as you hear it and obey it, you'll not only see it, you'll become the image of what you're seeing. You will become in the image. We are growing into the image, the likeness of Christ, the Bible says, from glory to glory. Do you see this? You go to a gym and see somebody who's working out, especially the ones who are just starting, and they're working out and they're getting their bicep. And some of us, we've been there before, especially when you're in high school and you're trying to impress people, and you work that bicep up and it gets what they call a pump, and that muscle's looking pretty good, and you're starting to feel really good about yourself. Woo, look at that bicep. It's getting so big. And you're like even posing and flexing in the mirror and checking yourself out, and you're like, oh, wait till I show my friends. And 3 hours later, it's gone. And you go to show your friends, look at this, and they're like, what? It's gone. It didn't last. But if you keep doing it, if you keep experiencing it, if you keep experiencing it, you go from just experiencing it to having it and living it. Do you see that? Do you see that? What's happened? You come into the house of God. You spend time in the word of God. You spend time in prayer in the presence of God. You spend time in worship, and you come out feeling so clean, so amazing, so strong. Your faith is built up. You're ready to conquer anything and anyone. You're ready to go after Goliath the giant. You're ready to curse every virus in every hospital. You are so built up. You're like, wait till I get out there. And 3 hours later, you're like, well, let's see what's on TV. And on TV and some radio stations, they're playing Christmas music and playing Christmas movies to comfort people. They're close. We don't need Christmas. We need Christ. And as you keep coming back and you keep coming back and keep coming back to the experience and keep coming back to that connection to you and the word and to you and the presence of God and you and what God is doing, all of a sudden what you experience becomes you because it was always in you. To become. Say, it was always in me to become. Wow, I haven't even got to my notes yet. We might not go there, but say, it was always in me to become. You're the righteousness of God, you're the healed of the Lord. two verses I'm going to read real quick. Malachi 3, verse 18, Amplified. I think this is a key verse in a time. And first of all, just to clarify, make sure we're all on the same page, God did not send any disease. This is not the source of God. I know they don't want to claim it, but history will probably show us that it was the Chinese weaponizing something. But we'll wait and see. Malachi 3, verse 18, that doesn't mean we have to sit quietly by and be victims and just let it go over. Malachi chapter 3, verse 18, then you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between the ones who serve God and the ones who do not serve God. Like I said before, we talk about Passover, Easter's coming up. And when Moses was instructed by God to put the blood over the doorpost, and the death angel of judgment would pass on, pass over. They obeyed God without feeling it. They obeyed God without understanding all of it. They obeyed it, pointed to cross, it pointed to Christ. But they did not notice what God was going to do. They did not notice the difference between those who served God and those who didn't until they came out in the morning. It was when that storm was over, they began to recognize. And I speak over your life today, and when this storm was over, those who did not believe God, those who maybe even mocked you for believing in Jesus, will see the difference between you and their life. Second Corinthians chapter 2, are you doing okay? Are we doing okay? It's like, where are you going to go anyway? All the restaurants are closed, so you just... Second Corinthians chapter 2. I mean, what do we got going on? I mean, this actually could be a plus. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Amplified says, but thanks be to God who always leads us to triumph in Christ and through us spreads and makes evident everywhere the sweet fragrance, the aroma of the knowledge of him. God's not called us to be victims, but victors. God didn't call us to be passive. I quoted 1 John 4, 4 earlier. 1 John 4, later on, I think 17, verse 17 talks about this is how we show your love is mature or complete, that you have confidence in the day of judgment. That word judgment means testing. Because as he is, so are you in this world. Can't be heaven if we're talking about us in this world. My friend, you will be the Jesus to many people. If we run like the world runs, if we cry like the world cries, and if we freak out like the world freaks out in panic, what difference is our faith in their fear? Wow, let's say that again. If we run like the world runs, if we cry like the world cries, if we freak out and panic like the world panics, what difference is our faith from their fear? We can cry out and say we have faith, but if we respond like the world, but I'm feeling fear. Of course, everybody feels fear. That's just an emotion, but you don't have to act upon it, live upon it, or allow it to stay. Great men and women of God aren't immune to the emotion. They just choose to follow the word of God. You can't tell me David didn't feel something emotionally when he charged Goliath, but that didn't stop him from picking up the rocks and charging because he understood covenant. Say, I'm in covenant with God. Matthew 15, 26 tells us that healing is bread for the children. Children are sons and daughters of God. It's a covenant. It's not a covenant when you feel it. It's not a covenant when you're emotional about it. It's a covenant of reality that God cut between him and himself so that you can't even disavow or mess it up. But if you don't know it, you can't receive it because you must mix the word with faith. You must have revelation on it. And we want to keep drilling in your life that God is the source of all healing and health. Don't use foolishness. Don't go lick some doorknobs. You know what I mean? Don't tempt the covenant. That's what the devil tried to get Jesus to do. Jump off this mountain. Jump off this pinnacle. Because didn't God say he would protect you with his angels? But Jesus didn't respond and say, yeah, that's a protection. I can do it. Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You don't do stuff to test it, to tempt it. But we act in faith so we can be a light shine. Three things in closing. Genesis 26, 12. I shared this in our Bible study on Tuesday afternoons. Said that Isaac sowed in the land and received the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. King James Version, it was a time of famine. The beginning of that chapter says, so when famine was going, most people try to store. When famine's going, most people are trying to freak out. When famine's going on, most people are trying to survive. Isaac had a different perspective. I'm going to sow. He began to sow in obedience to God. At first attempt, if you look at the chapter in entirety and challenge everything I say with the word of God, you'll find out that Isaac began to look to move to a different place. But God said, don't do what you want to do. Do what I tell you to do. And Isaac obeyed God and sowed. Three things I want to encourage you to be open to sow in your life. When people are freaking out, number one, I encourage you to sow the love of God. There's people panicking and hurt people tend to try to hurt people. Haters tend to hate. Doesn't mean you have to take their abuse. Doesn't mean you have to listen to it. I had someone post on we have several people who manage the social side, but I also have access, and I came across one, and some person was just kind of, I guess, screaming. If you can scream in letters, they were probably screaming. They need medication. God love them. And so someone made a comment, was there, so I just happened to see it, and I deleted it and banned them. Someone said, what'd they say? I said, I don't know. I stopped reading after the first F word. I just thought at that point, I don't need to keep reading. I don't need to know everything they're saying. I don't need to understand their point of view. I just need to understand the point of view of God. You say, how's that showing them love? I'm giving them the opportunity to repent before I hunt them down. I'm joking, just I'm hunting them down. But we need to invest, sow the love of God in the lives of people. Can I encourage you? Be open for God ideas. It might be call your neighbors. It might be call people in the church that you know. Check on people. I don't know what to do. People get on Facebook to tell a video how they're so bored. Why don't you call somebody? Why don't you encourage somebody? Why don't you help somebody? This is a time, folks, history, you don't take my word for it, write it down and see if it proves out. History will show us that those who do not panic and those who look for opportunities will rise to the top. If you've ever complained about, I feel stuck in life and I just wish I had an opportunity, here it is. David looked at Goliath when the king was hiding. He was self-quarantined in his own tent. David said, listen, there is a cause here. You can look at the disasters or situations of life and say, we need to hide and protect ourselves, or you can see from covenant and say, there's a cause, and God can get glory out of this. Not seeing people sick, but seeing people healed. Not seeing people starving, seeing people fed. That's why we're trying to ramp up everything we do, because we want to continue to, at a next level. If the devil tries to take you down, take a step up higher than you were before. The devil tries to keep us to preach on Sunday. We're going to preach on Sunday and Monday, maybe. Sow the love of God. Say the love of God. Sow the word of God. Like we talked about earlier, the word of God is powerful. Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. And if you're in fear, don't freak out. Get in more into the word. Get more into the word. How much, Pastor? Should I read a chapter a day? Listen, the key answer to that and for prayer and for the word is this. It depends. What do you mean it depends? But all based on the situation you're in. If someone says, Pastor, how many steps do I need to take to get out of the hole? I would answer the same way. It depends. What do you mean it depends? How deep is the hole? Some holes you get out with one step. It's like your car and some of the potholes. Some is just a little bump. Some are major potholes. It all depends how deep you're in. But it, regardless of how deep, you keep going until you're out. You keep going, you keep listening to it, you keep reading, you keep speaking it, you keep allowing it to flood your mind and your heart until you begin to experience the peace of God, the strength of God, and then you can begin to do what God wants you to do, and you begin to speak with authority and boldness, not off what you hope is working, not off the emotion of it, but by the basis of the faith that God has placed on you. You will have peace, you will be strong in the Lord, you will be confident and courageous, and you will do what nobody else in St. Louis can do. Last but not least, the plans of God. Say the plans of God. Don't wake up and say, what am I going to do today? Wake up every morning and say, thank you, Father. Today I put into action your plans. Today I put into action the plans of God. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in worship. Spend time reading the word. Spend time contacting. You just let the Holy Spirit show you. Should I do this? Well, what's God placed on your heart? Should I not do this? What is God? I've had people say, should I come to church? And I tell them, listen, don't come to church because I say you should or shouldn't. Isn't that unusual for a pastor? You find out what God's placed in your heart. I'm not your Jesus. You follow Jesus. I'm going to be at church. If you want to come, the doors are open. Your choice. Now, if all of a sudden something changes, we'll let you know. But you don't look for an invitation of, are we having church? Did we cancel church? If we didn't cancel church, why do you think we're not having church? Right? Because and right now I think we might be the only church having church gathering, but that's okay. We're going to do what God places on our heart to do. I don't shame people or pressure people to do one or the other. I encourage them. You find the mind of God and begin to obey God, what he places on your heart to do. If you've been with us for years and been part of our ministry, you know our Tagged by God wristbands has been an exercise of this. We've encouraged you to wear it, to be comforted by it, but to also pray, Lord, use me to tag one person this week, and then forget about it, put it on the back burner, and let the Holy Spirit create the moment. What were we doing? Exercising you in the things of God so that you are in a position of God. If you want me to help somebody, show me, speak to my heart, make it clear, and watch God make it clear to you. Might not be the way you think it is. It might be, hey, take food to your neighbor. I don't like them. In fact, I hope they get it. No, don't be that way. Because they might be angry. They might be hurting. They might be empty. But most importantly, they might be ready to experience the love of God. We don't know. Only God knows. That's why we trust the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. Amen. 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 Let me pray a prayer. You bow your head, and this is for everybody who's watching. Because this is the opportunity to accept Jesus if you don't know him. And then I'm going to speak a blessing over your life. Those of you who are watching by live stream, I encourage you, if you can, if you're driving, obviously don't do this, but if you can, bow your head and close your eyes. Examine your life. This is the time you do not want to be away from God. This is the time you want to be close to the Lord. And know without any question, shadow, or doubt that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around, no one moving around. Is Jesus Christ, and the way you process and the way you experience and the way you understand, is Jesus Christ real to you today? In a way that only you know that he's real and your Lord and Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if not, you can experience his salvation, his forgiveness, his healing, his presence in your life. Let's all pray this prayer together. And right where you're at, let it come from your heart. Because Romans tells us with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. A simple prayer that comes from your heart can make an eternal difference right where you're at. Say this with me. Pray this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, make me whole. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen, church. Folks, listen to me. This is one of the greatest times in history to reach the unchurched, the unsaved. Let's not sit on the sidelines. That's not about coming to church and not coming to church. That's being open for God to use us. Let's not sit on the sidelines. See, I won't sit on the sidelines, but I'm going to be available for God to use me to make a difference in somebody else's life. That's what we call the John 10:10 dynamic life. It's living a life that honors God and impacts your family, friends, and neighbors. This is the time to do it as God's direction empowers you. In closing, let me speak a blessing over you if you lift your hands. comes out of Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26, New Living Translation. It's on the inside of our wristbands. It says, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a great day. You're dismissed. Prayer partners will be down here if you need one-on-one prayer. Invite somebody. Make a difference in somebody's life this week. See you next time. God bless.